Just suppose God searched through heaven. He couldn't find one worthy to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad that he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands bore the nails that torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Then forever my soul would be lost.
Amen. I'm glad that Jesus answered that. Amen. Had it not been was answered before the foundation of the world. Amen. And while you and I can, I guess, sit for you and stand for me on this side of eternity and ask that question, can I tell you, in the mind of God, the question never came up. And I'm certainly not taking anything away from the song. I'm just showing you how the mind of God versus the mind of man works. God didn't owe us anything, brethren. God did not, nor does he, owe us anything. But I am so thankful that God has given us everything. Amen. Everything you need for life. Everything you need for life and for what God has in store, what life has in store, God has provided. And I'm thankful for that. Well, you read along with Pastor Brandon in John chapter number 3, and I want to preach a Christmas message to you this morning. I've preached out of this passage before. I believe that John 3:16 is probably one of the greatest Christmas passages in all the Bible. Now, you see, I didn't want to just reach in into John 3:16 because sometimes when we quote that verse of Scripture, we forgot who it was quoted to. And I want us to remember that John 3:16 was not quoted to Mary Magdalene, though it was available to Mary Magdalene. I want us to remember that John 3:16 was not given by Jesus to the down and outers. It was given to a religious man who came to him by night. He was a ruler among the Pharisees. He was a very religious person. And you read about this man, and the Bible tells us some things about him. It's not my message. I've preached out of this chapter many times before. And I wanted you just to kind of get a mindset and a backdrop of where John 3:16 finds its place in the Scripture. So when Jesus is returning in conversation to this man, in verse number 3, it says, Jesus answered. This man came with questions, and he came with concerns. And so Jesus answered, and he began to clarify some of the things that this man had asked. And in the midst of that clarification, he gave him John 3:16. So I thought John 3:16 was the Word of God. It is, as we talked about in Sunday school. Every time Jesus opened his mouth, the Word of God came out. Amen. Because he is God in the flesh. And so he said, for God so loved the world. And I want you to underline a few words in that verse that I'd like to pick out this morning and give you three thoughts. Okay, the first word is God. For God so loved the world. I want you to underline that word, God. And we'll talk about the God of Christmas. The God of Christmas. Then secondly, as we read on, it says that he gave his only begotten son. I want you to underline the word gave. And we'll talk about the gift of Christmas. You see, we exchange gifts. I like to get gifts. How about you? Amen. But can I tell you, I like to give them too. I believe every word of the Bible. The Bible says that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, that doesn't mean it's not good to receive. It just says it's more blessed to give. Jesus said that, right? That's what Paul said over in the book of Acts. He said that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so I'm thankful that though it is a blessing to receive, it's more blessed to give. Well, God is the greatest giver. Someone has said you'll never be more like God than when you're giving. God is a great giver. Amen. And the greatest gift that's ever been given, God gave it. His name is Jesus. What a great gift. And so we'll talk about the gift of Christmas. So for God so loved the world, the God of Christmas, that he gave his only begotten son, the gift of Christmas. And then I want to talk to you about the glory of Christmas. I want you to look at what it says, that whosoever, I want you to underline that word, whosoever. This is the glory of Christmas, brethren. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful, glorious truth that is. Amen. Let's start with that first one, okay? The God of Christmas. Now, I could stand and tell you, and I have from this pulpit, and we've had many to come in and stand behind this pulpit, and you've heard it, not just from this pulpit, but pulpits that you've visited, as you visited neighboring churches and churches where you vacation. You've heard it said, God is a God of holiness, and he is. God is a God of justice, and he is. God is a God of mercy, and he is. Aren't you glad that his mercy endureth forever? God is a God of grace, and he is. God is a God of long suffering, and he is. God is a God of patience, and he is. Aren't you glad that God is patient? Where would we be if God were not a patient God, brethren? Where would we be? And while God is all of these and much more, you read in the Scripture the Jehovah titles, and you read all the attributes of God, all the characteristics of God. You see, this book that we call the Bible, it's really the Word of God. The Bible never calls itself the Bible. There's nothing wrong using the word Bible. The Bible just simply means book or books. But this is the Word of God that we have. And the Holy Scriptures over and over and over and over again reveal to us and manifest to us who this great God is. This God that I talked to you about, though he has all of these attributes, here in John chapter 3, and I believe really throughout the Bible, one of his great, if not the greatest attributes of God is that he is a God of love. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. Now, I know the Bible says God is light, and I'm thankful for that. God is life, and I'm thankful for that. But did you know that God could be light? And that God could be life, and He is. But if God were not love, you and I would be left out. See, God in His love now can turn His affection unto you and I. God in His light cannot. God in His life can give us earthly life. But only God in His love can promise us the gift of eternal life. And so I'm thankful that the God of Christmas is the God of the Bible, is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when I read in Genesis chapter 1, I read where God is the God of creation. And then I turn to John chapter 3 and I read where God is the God of Christmas. Amen. God gave. God started this thing called Christmas. Now, I don't want to make you mad, or I just want to get your wheels turning a little bit, okay? Can I tell you that the God of Christmas is not a big man in a red suit? The God of Christmas is not even a reindeer with a red nose. Now, I know that aggravates some of you, but, you know, you like Rudolph, right? The God of Christmas is not a snowman that can talk. Listen, the God of Christmas is not a family or a present or a gathering and a meal. You can do all of those things and miss Christmas, but when you get in tune with the God of Christmas, you'll understand what Christmas really is. Christmas is that God gave His only begotten Son. I was thinking this morning as the choir opened up in song, and some folks, you know, you go to some churches and folks are so, listen, they're just so stale and they're so regimented and they're so structured. They might have said, "Now wait a minute, that's not a Christmas song, that's an Easter song. Jesus came out alive." Listen, you can't have Easter without Christmas. Amen. And you don't want Christmas without Easter. Say amen. I'm glad that He came, but I'm glad that He died, and I'm glad that He rose again too. Amen. I'm thankful for all of these things, you see. The God of Christmas is a God of love. I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you glad for that? You know, one of the things that really concerns me about the mentality, and I was thinking about this past week, the mentality of a lot of folks around this time of year is, well, you know, you better be good or you're not going to get anything. Can I tell you that's not the way God operates? Now, listen to me now. Listen to me. See, I believe that it's been, we have an enemy, and I believe that what he's trying to do around this time of year is get people to think that way. And they'll begin to think, well, maybe God's that way. If you're not good, God's not going to give you anything. Can I tell you, you'll never be good enough for God to give you anything. Now, hear me this morning. Hear me. We'll never be good enough for God to give us anything. Don't you think for one moment, well, I'm going to get something from God because I was good. No, you're not. But I will tell you the reverse side of that. Romans 5:8. This is the verse of Scripture that God used to turn the light on in my mind. But I'm thankful it didn't stop there. It sunk down into my heart. And by faith, I received this wonderful thing called salvation. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you realize that you don't have to be good for God to give you anything? As a matter of fact, as long as you think you're good, you'll probably never realize you need anything from God. But the moment you realize, I'm just an old sinner. I'm just separated from God. And if I were to go out into eternity in this condition, I'll die in my sin and go to hell. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now God can help you. See, that's the God of Christmas. The God of Christmas is a God of love. He's a God. Hey, listen, I'm in no way preaching this morning. You go out and live any way you want, and God is going to give or not give. God, I will tell you this though. God's going to love you regardless. See, here's something we humans have a problem with. We're conditional lovers. Listen to me now. Our love is based on a condition. You treat me a certain way, I love you. But you treat me a certain way and I won't love you. That's not the way God works. Jeremiah 31:3 says that God loves us with an everlasting love. Isn't that something? God just keeps on loving us. You say, "Preacher, I don't know that I can get my mind around that." I can tell you right now, you can stop trying. You're not going to. Amen. You're not going to get your mind around that. But you can certainly get your heart to accept it and enjoy the experience of an unending, unceasing, unlimited love from Almighty God. It's a reality. It's real. So the God of Christmas now It's not some ghost from Christmas past and all these things that people bring up around this time. And I'm not saying that they're all, you know, we ought to just do away with them all. But I will tell you this. We need to stay focused on who the God of Christmas is. And we need to stay focused why Christmas is. Christmas is God said, I want to give you a gift. Now listen carefully. For God, look at John 3:16. For God so loved. I like what Spurgeon said about that, and I want to read you something here. I found this in my research. Charles Spurgeon, commenting on the word so, said this in a statement, God so loved. Come, ye surveyors, bring your chains and try to make a survey of this word so. Nay, that is not enough. Come hither, ye that make our national surveys and lay down charts for all nations. Come ye who map the sea and the land and make the chart of this world. Look at the word so. Nay, I must go further. Come hither, you astronomers, that with your optic glasses spy out the spaces before with imagination it staggers the mind. Come hither and encounter calculations worthy of all of your powers. When you have measured between the horns and space, here is a task that will defy you. God so loved the world. You know, we talk of love, but when the Bible begins, when Jesus was telling this man on this day, this really happened. This is what an event really happened. He said, I want to tell you something. God so loved. If we could just wrap our minds around that one word, God so loved the world. So loved. The songwriter put it this way. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned him from sin. Now, before I get to the chorus of that song, there was a second stanza, and then Mr. Layman, who wrote this song, had trouble coming up with the third stanza. He wanted a third stanza. He wanted a third part to this song, and he was really struggling. And the story goes that when he went to write this third verse, the words would just not fall into place. But then he had a thought. I read a card not long ago, and in that card, those words seemed to jump out at me. If only I could find that card. He began a frantic search, and he found the card. And when he read the words that were on the card, his heart was just thrilled with the poem as if the first time he read it. He began to repeat the words of the poem with the melody that he had composed for this song, O Love of God, and it fit perfectly. Layman noticed at the bottom of the card some smaller but heavier printing. It told the story of the origin of the poem. It told that the poem was found on a cell wall in a prison some 200 years earlier. Now, it was not known exactly why the prisoner was incarcerated, but the story said that he was put there because of his faith in Jesus Christ and that he was declared an insane man. He did not know whether the words were original with that man or whether they were heard from somewhere else. Whatever, he pinned them down. And they became the third stanza of the song that we sing here at this church and many churches around the world, The Love of God. And here's what it says. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. I'm so thankful that the God of Christmas, our God, the one true and living God, is a God of love. And that this God, look in verse number 16, that he gave the gift of Christmas. Did you know over and over and over again in the Bible talks about this gift that God has given us? The gift is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15, the apostle wrote, "But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 3:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Did you know that the Lord Jesus, while he was talking here to this man, a good moral man, he told him, "You need to be born again." If you'll flip the page just for a moment, he met a woman who was standing at the well. She had come to the well, and we know her as, well, the Samaritan woman. In the Bible, in chapter number 4, the Bible gives the story of how Jesus stood and he talked with her and he led her to a saving knowledge of himself. Look, if you would, in John chapter 4, look at verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God," he said, "Oh, if you just knew what you were really asking." He said, "If thou knewest the gift of God," in verse number 10, "and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Now, there was later on this conversation, she did ask, and she received that living water. Amen? She got saved. She received God's gift. I wonder if you've ever received the gift of God. Has there ever been a time in your life that you received God's gift to you? I want to tell you just a few things about this gift, and then I'll get to the third point and we'll close. I want you to listen to this. The Bible says that this gift that God has given now, God's given a gift. And it said that this gift is unparalleled. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?" Now think about that for a moment. What's it going to profit you if you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, this gift is so important, it's unparalleled. It's the most important thing in life. Now, as we go through life, we think of a lot of things as important, don't we? We think of our marriage, and certainly marriage and honoring our marriage vows is important. Our children, raising and training and nurturing our children, important. Our health, there's many, many important things in life, but can I tell you that none are more important than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest thing you'll ever do with your life is to give it to Jesus Christ. Receive God's gift. It's unparalleled. Number two, it's unlimited. This gift is unlimited. I want to quote you a verse of Scripture, and I want you to listen very carefully. You see, there are those who will tell you, "Well, now you can't be saved, because God has only chosen some to be saved, and so you may not be in that chosen, so therefore you can't be saved." But I want to tell you that that's nowhere in the Bible. I'd like to tell you what the Bible does say, all right? Because I like to use the Bible to get my doctrine. So Isaiah 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Now how many's gone astray? All we like sheep have gone astray. But I'm glad that's not the final all in that verse. Listen to me very carefully now. All we like sheep have gone astray. How many's gone astray? We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, meaning God, this God of Christmas, has laid on him, meaning Jesus, the loved gift of God. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did you get that? Yes, we all have gone astray. Yes, all we like sheep have gone our own way. Yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I am so thankful to God that Jesus paid the sin debt for us all, amen. So don't you ever let someone tell you, you might not just be in that number. If you are alive and breathing, you're in that number. So don't let anyone tell you any different now. God's gift is unlimited. It's God's will, 1 Timothy 2:4, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9,
The Bible says that the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This gift is unparalleled. It's unlimited. It's unmerited. There's nothing you can do to buy this gift. God's salvation is not for sale. Listen to me now. God's salvation is not something you can earn. There are those who say, well, you know, I'm doing the best I can, preacher, and I just hope I make it into heaven. Well, you'll never get to heaven doing the best you can. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Please hear me this morning. See, God's given a gift. Could you imagine this Christmas? How many of you get with family around the Christmas? You got a Christmas gathering or a Christmas dinner? Raise your hand if you get with family. Amen. That's most of the folks. You get with family, you sit around. Could you imagine sitting around with gifts that you have, that you come bearing to give to the family, and then you look across the table and you look at someone and you say, you know what? I brought you a gift, but you didn't quite earn yours this year, so I think I'm taking yours back. Actually, I think I'm going to use it for me. Amen. Right? Could you imagine that? But then think about how we do with God sometimes. We really believe that we can earn this gift from God. We do not earn the gift from God. God does not allow that. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen. Amen. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, as I've already said in Ephesians, it says that we're saved by grace, not of works. It's the gift of God. Lest any man would boast. In other words, would go around saying, you know what? I've done enough good to get me into heaven. No, it's not what you've done or I've done or what we're going to do. It's what Jesus has done. Amen. And that's the gift of God. Amen. Now, that's some great things about that gift, isn't it? It's right out of the Bible. It's unparalleled. It's unlimited. It's unmerited. But did you know that there'll be some folks that will know all this about the gift and they'll let that gift go unclaimed? Now, I want you to please listen to me. This gift is everything I've just told you and then some. But now don't let this gift go unclaimed. There might be somebody this year that has a gift wrapped under the tree, and because of some tragic incident, because maybe of sometimes around this year family can get things can get kind of elevated and a lot of contention with some family, and maybe someone won't show up at the dinner table, and that gift will remain under that tree. After all the festivities are over, the gift remains. A gift that was bought with good intention, a gift that was wrapped, and a gift that was intended for someone will remain there, unclaimed. You know, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel, at the Passover, were to take that blood, they were to take that firstling of the flock, and they were to shed that lamb's blood into a basin. But that was not enough. They had to apply that blood to the door lintel. Right? The blood had to be applied. Can I tell you, God's gift of salvation is the same way. Listen to what the scripture says now. John 1:12. But to as many as received him. You hear me? Jesus is the gift. You have to receive him. You say, well, Jesus died and that's it. No. You have to receive him. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So why this gift is unparalleled, and why this gift is unmerited, and why this gift is unlimited, don't let it go unclaimed. Final thought, and I'm through. Look at your Bible. Look at verse number 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. I hope you believe that. I trust that you really believe that. That you believe, you know, if I believe on Christ, I have eternal life, preacher. You don't have temporal life now. You have eternal life. And then he said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now look at this. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Oh, that man could get that. Oh, that man could get that. Somehow we have a disconnect with God when it comes to this thing, don't we? We treat God like he's some type of heavenly bully. who wants to bounce us around and beat up on us. God loves us. He wants the very best for your life and for my life. Look at what Jesus said. Now look at it again. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. By the way, he didn't send you into the world for you to condemn the world either. Say amen with me now. God didn't send you into the world to condemn the world. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. But, look at it, verse 17, that the world through him might be saved. Brethren, if that's the reason God sent his Son into the world, shouldn't you and I be telling people? Shouldn't we be telling them about this glory of Christmas? We talked about the God of Christmas, for God so loved the world. We talked about the gift of Christmas, that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the glory of it right here. That whosoever, can I tell you that means the inner and the outer? That means the king and the pauper? That means the good man and the bad man? That means the church member and the dope addict? Listen to me now. Whosoever believeth on him hath everlasting life. There's three things I want you to remember, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Give you an opportunity to respond to what God has said in your heart. Look at verse 16. Whosoever believeth in him, that's earth. Right now. If you've never done that, you have that chance. Now, there's no guarantee you'll have that chance tomorrow. You know why? Because no man knows what a day may bring forth. We're not promised tomorrow. I may not be here tomorrow. You say, preacher, you're just saying that. I'm saying it because I mean it. By the way, you may not either. I told a man that one time. I said, listen, you're not promised tomorrow. There's no guarantees. Now listen, it's your decision ultimately. So I would trust Christ today while I have the time. He said, well, you can't prove I won't be here tomorrow. And I said, and you can't prove you will. So I think I'd err on the side of caution. Whosoever believeth in him, that speaks of the earth. All right, now look at the next one. Shall not perish. That speaks of hell. If you die without Christ, I'm not happy to give you this news, but I'm compelled to. I'm commissioned to. You will die in your sin and go to hell. And hell is real. So, my neighbor doesn't believe in hell. That doesn't make it not real. Well, I had a friend who didn't believe in hell. Well, if he died in his sin, he believes in it now. Now please, don't get confused now. Things are not what you believe they are. Things are what they are. And when it comes to this Bible, things are what God says they are. So please, don't get confused now and think, well, you know, I believe this, I believe that. If you believe what the Bible says, that's good. Now, if you believe outside of what the Bible says about these issues, well, God is always right. Whosoever believeth, that's the earth, in him should not perish, that touches hell, but have everlasting life. That touches heaven. See, here's the three realms. Here they are. Earth, hell, heaven. And God's love has spanned all of these spheres in life. Whosoever believeth in him, right now is your opportunity. If you've never realized you were a sinner and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to do that now. There's an old, I think it's American Express card. It says, don't leave home without it. And then some years later, there was a preacher who coined this phrase, Jesus, don't leave earth without him. Don't you leave this life without Jesus. Because if you do, you will die in your sin and you will go to hell. But I'm thankful for the fact that if you believe in him, you don't have to perish. You have eternal life. And eternal life doesn't begin when you die. The moment you receive Jesus, you have eternal life. You are looking at a person that possesses eternal life. And if you're saved, you have eternal life. So, well, I hope I receive it when I die. No, if you got saved, you have it right now. You've been passed from death into life. Let's stand to our feet. It's Christmas time. The old songwriter many years ago said it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I'm going to preach a message about that. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. What does that mean? Well, the tinsel and the trees and the lights and all this, isn't it beautiful? It's all beautiful. But I'm going to tell you when it really begins to look a lot like Christmas. When we walk in the Spirit and when we get in the Word and we begin to see the God of Christmas that gave the greatest gift, the gift of Christmas, that brought the most glory, the glory of what Christmas is really about, that man shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day. All right? Say, preacher, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. I hope we do have a white Christmas. If you're saved, you already do. Your sins have been made white as snow. But we need to get more concerned about a right Christmas than a white Christmas. Is your Christmas going to be right? Have you received the one gift that needs to be received? Let's bow our heads together.